Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul, in the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign, but to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign, but to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. I am the light within your soul, in the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And when I call to thee and come on bending knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat
Shalom, Holy Angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Thank you for joining me tonight here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. And we're actually running a little bit different this week. We're one day later. We're on Saturday as opposed to late night Friday night, and we're running a little bit earlier this week. So I apologize for some of the change-up in time. My name is Jesse Ann Nichols George, and I am your hostess tonight. And the music you were listening to there at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence. It's by Shemshai. And Shemshai is actually a really cool group that I got to get to know when I was living in the Arizona area for a while, and they were out in Sedona, and I was working with some people out there and connecting with some people who were doing some work in Tantra, which is all about learning how to connect on this very open, expansive level in relationships and with people that we meet. And it's about coming from your heart space and really working from that expansion and developing these very powerful spirit-to-spirit connections. And when I first met Shemshai, it was really interesting because they were this group that was just kind of, you know, this kind of reggae style, and they were just putting out like their first couple of CDs, and now they're just traveling all over the world, and it's incredible to watch how much they've grown and the multiple CDs that they have out. And you can always, by the way, check out more of their work at shemshai.com, and that's shimshai.com, and they will, you know, have all kinds of things. Every now and then they put out a free download, so that's really a great thing to take advantage of. You'll find out that if you connect with them on Facebook as well. And I just want to say welcome to those, whether you're returning back or whether you're joining us for the first time here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. And during this show, what I do is I look at the different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. Some weeks I'm discussing different aspects of how compassion is in our life, how it affects our life, and the different areas of compassion. And then some weeks I'm going to be doing more exercises and practical implementations on the show. And we may actually get into some of those practical implementations tonight for some different things. We're kind of being a little bit flexible here tonight. And in addition to that, what we do is oftentimes I've got guests on the show. That way you can learn about how other people's work and different things that are out there complement and work with compassion. I also will be highlighting different musical artists along the way. A few weeks ago, I had Stephen Halpern on the show, and if you missed that show, it was just an amazing show where he talked about using the brainwaves and the music in an entrainment process and really got into some incredible ways of how music affects our spirit self and how it can shift our moods and our patterns in life just through the different musical frequencies. And then Peter Cater is going to be joining us in August, so he's going to be amazing. Stephen Halpern was voted a nominee for Best New Age Artist this past year, and Peter Cater has been nominated for Grammys 7 times in the last 8 years, so I'm really looking forward to have him call in. And next week we've got a guest coming up too, Jill Mattson, who's going to be on the show, and she has a really interesting perspective with music because she taps into actually ancient civilizations and cultures and how to draw out the properties of those ancient civilizations and cultures through time through music. So I'm really excited about having her on. That's going to be a great musical guest, and that's coming up next week. And then sometimes I have nights that are call-in coaching nights, and those are nights where you can call in, share what's happening. I can work with you live on the air. We'll see how tonight's flowing. We might even do some of that. I'm not sure yet. But these also help you make breakthroughs, get questions answered that you might have. And in addition to that, sometimes we're just more experiential here on the show, and I have a feeling I might be doing some exercises. We've got a little bit of delay with the guest coming in. I've got some messages out there. I know that she has been having some medical procedures and stuff done, so I'm hoping everything's okay with her tonight and that we'll hear from her shortly. I think she's just a little delayed coming in tonight. And here on the show, what I do, or outside of the show actually, in my own work, I focus on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday lives. I've created the Genesis Clearing Statement, which some of you may have experienced on previous shows. And if you've missed it, you can catch that in our archives. I've also currently authored two books titled Activating Compassion, and the other one is the companion workbook, Activating Compassion and the Workbook. I'm getting ready to release my next set of books based on relationships, and I know you've been listening to me say that for a while, but one of the things with those books is I'm getting confirmation from an artist for the work that she does to use as the cover on this next set of books. So we're just working out the final details on that. Hopefully we can get through most of that this week and get that taken care of so that they'll be ready and available for you in the very near future. In addition to that, I've created the Compassion Tour, which is a multi-state nationwide tour, and that includes workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, fundraising events. There's going to be some amazing things coming up. I've already started to set up a couple of events this year that are not formally part of the tour that are happening in southern Utah early in June, and you'll want to check that out on my Eventbrite page, which you can do at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And those are the personal emergence work. Now, the sign-ups for these are going to be closing very soon, and there's only 4 spaces available on each of these to sign up for. So I keep this as a very small group. And this goes through, I believe, no matter how many people sign up for it, those workshops go through. And we do more work in nature with those workshops. It's about expanding your perception on things, your awareness. It is no matter where you are on your spiritual path or what your physical level is. So even though we go into nature, you can have a low physical level, and I adapt that to whatever the participants in the groups is at, where you're at on your path and where you're at physically, and get you those awareness-building experiences. But this is very expansive, especially if you're also doing work like massage work or energy work, or you have your own practice of things. This is really going to help you expand your energy level with your clients and make it much more powerful and unique work, and it's going to help you be able to identify things with them a lot easier and really bring that about. So that is very, very exciting as well. I see we have some chatters coming in. I see Joseph's in there, so I'll acknowledge him. Is there? Thanks, Joseph, for showing up and giving me all your regular support that you do. It's so appreciated in there. So that gives you a little bit of idea of some of the things that I'm working on right now. Also, for those of you that maybe you can't attend an event, you can go into gifting the tour, and anybody that can't attend but they want to support the work, let's say you want to help me get out to do something at Live and Let Live Farm Rescue, or you want to help me get over to set something up for Chiari, and you want to definitely watch for some of those fundraisers, because I've got some much bigger plans for those this year than I did last year, incorporating a lot more things, so you want to look for those. And again, on the fundraising events, what I do is 90% of what I bring in on those events goes out to help the organization. So I'm very excited about bringing in more to make those even more successful this year. Just a reminder, if you enjoy this show tonight, make certain that you're sharing the show with your family and your friends, significant others, Facebook connections, whoever you feel will benefit from the information that I'm sharing here tonight. And they can always listen to the show in the archives, which is really great. They just use the same link that you use to get into our live show. They can listen to it at their convenience. They can also find it 2 other places, which they can go to my Facebook page for Activating Compassion, which is facebook.com/activatingcompassion/notes. I keep all of my archived, both the interviews that are done on me as well as archived shows for this show there. I also have them on my website at jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com. And I do want to mention, too, I had a wonderful interview this week that was done on me by Luella May, and I'm getting ready. I will, in the next day, probably tomorrow, get that posted up on my website where you can also listen to that. And we delved into my work on activating compassion, and we worked with the Genesis Clearing Statement on her show. So if you haven't had that experience, you might want to listen into that. And we delved into different aspects of how compassion works with aspects of bullying and abuse and things like that. So it was a very interesting topic, and I encourage you to also listen in on that. Now, before we get started on everything, one of the things that I like to do, and again, we're waiting on our guest to come in tonight, Suzanne. She has been going through some things in her life, and I've got messages out to her to see if we can get her connected in tonight, but I haven't heard back at the moment. Not to worry, we're going to have some really great things we'll delve into anyway, still on the topic of relationships tonight, even if we can't get through to her. So in the meantime, we're going to keep going with the show here. The 72 names of God is something, as most of you know, I like to delve into. I really enjoy this. This is the 72 Names of God, Technology for the Soul, and this is written by Yehuda Berg. And most of you may not know it unless you've been listening to my show since it started last fall. And he is an ordained rabbi and internationally renowned as a leading author of Kabbalah. And he's also done a book called, which was best-selling, Power of Kabbalah. And he teaches at Kabbalah centers, plays an instrumental role in making the wisdom and tools of Kabbalah available and accessible. And as I've said on previous shows, part of what I really love about his work is that with his work, it's kind of like my work. It's taking these big, complex aspects, and it's breaking them down into everyday, simplified form. And that makes it very easy to understand these bigger complex. It puts us into our everyday lives, and I really love that about his work. And what I do is I randomly open up to the book, and it always applies, whatever the message is, it always applies. And what I do is I then will also post this message on my website, on my Main Street Universe page. Each of our shows on Main Street Universe, each of the host of shows has their own tab, and you can go in and check out the other shows there. And that, again, that's at my website, jessieannnicholsgeorge1, that's the number 1.com. But I also will post on there the message from Yehuda every week, and it always applies. It always absolutely applies, which is exciting. And what I'm finding is I just randomly open up, and that brings us right into whatever we're supposed to get. And again, it will post on the website. So let's take a look at what we've got this week. And this week, what I have is... Okay. The message this week is Dialing God. So this should be exciting here. And his message says, are you constantly getting a busy signal when you pray? Is there too much static on the line? Are you constantly getting cut off each time you dial up? Is it hard to get an outside line? And then his insight on this is the light is always there, never changing, forever willing and able to fulfill our every desire, to answer our every prayer. Just like the electricity in our homes, it is ever present, but we must plug into it in order to physically receive its many benefits. There are many negative forces that attempt to block and impede our prayers as they travel to the spiritual network. We create these negative forces with our own negative behavior and unkind words. In the same way as freezing rain and ice can down a power line, our cold and bitter behavior breaks down the lines of communication to the source of all blessings. This name clears all obstructions, provided we acknowledge that we alone are responsible for getting our prayers answered. It repairs broken lines, removes interference, and establishes a secure line of communication to the upper world. Now, this is a really interesting concept because what we find with this is a lot of people wonder, why aren't things happening? Why are, I feel like God isn't listening. The reality of it is spirit, divine, God, whatever word you want to use, is always listening. It's always connected. It's just waiting for us to get rid of the static on the line. And just as Yehuda has mentioned here, when this really applies to our topic of relationships tonight, I find, because when we get cold and icy with somebody, when we shut down the communication, when we won't talk with them, when we say, oh, I'm too busy, you know, I'll talk with you later, sort of thing, and we don't explain things, not explaining things create this cold distance there, we are creating a barrier in the communication. And communication is, I would say, one of the utmost important things, right up there with knowing yourself and being able to be yourself, one of the most important things in relationships. It will make or break a relationship for you. So this is such an applicable thing when we talk about relationships. It's important to have that really strong connection. And what's great is Yehuda goes on here with his meditation. It says, you dial, you connect, your prayers are answered at the speed of light. Okay? Now, what's really interesting about that meditation, and as we visualize that, you dial in, you connect, and your prayers are answered at the speed of light. Now, what's so important about that little add-on there, the speed of light, is because when we are fully connected, when we have removed the distractions in our life, things happen at the speed of light. There are few rare exceptions to that. And what's interesting is people do not want to accept a lot of times that they're truly not connected. And I want to give you the pronunciation or the actual name for dialing God, and that name is Lamed Vav Vav. Okay? Lamed Vav Vav. And what's interesting about this is a lot of times we don't want to admit we don't have a strong connection with spirit. We don't want to admit that there are distractions there in our life, that we're maybe speaking bad of somebody, and that we're creating our own static. We're responsible. Divine source is always there. It's always a clear connection. And when we meet divine source with a clear connection, things happen immediately. The doors start to fly open. So that is really a huge key to getting things happening now in our life. Now, there are, like I said, very few rare exceptions where every now and then the divine presence has something bigger, badder, better for us to look at in our life, and that can create a delay, but that is more of a rare exception. Our ego wants to say God's not listening to us. Our ego wants to blame and say, I've been deserted, I've been left. But the reality of it is God, divine presence, never, ever, ever leaves us. Like the electricity that comes into our house, it's always there for us to tap into. We just have to turn it on. We just have to plug in. And we plug in by getting rid of the negative behavior, the negative words, the negative thoughts. So this is a really important, incredible message from Yehuda that's going on here. Now, a little message about our topic tonight. And again, I'm still waiting to see if we can connect with Suzanne, who is our listed guest tonight. I've got messages into her, so hopefully I'm going to hear something from her. In the meantime, we're just going to keep going on. And we've got some great information to share no matter what tonight, so hang in there with me because if for any reason we can't connect with her, I've got some amazing meditations and exercises and things that I'm going to share with you tonight, and you're going to be getting a sneak preview of some things coming out of my book. So that'll be a great thing to stay with. So let's kind of tune in now to our subject, which is based on relationships. And I want to mention something. You know, we have graduation coming up for a lot of people. Matter of fact, I've been gone the last couple of days, and I've been gone watching my niece graduate. I got to be a very proud aunt, and that was so exciting to be there live with her, watching her walk across stage. She graduated with a bachelor's in chemical engineering, one of the few women that are out there doing that, and I'm just so proud of her. She also made the dean's list as she's finishing out school, so very exciting stuff. And many kids are graduating right now, and that's upon us in many places, and summer's here. And what's happening now that these finals are over and summer's coming in is a lot of people are thinking about warm days in the sun. They're spending more time being active outside, and the possibility of having a summer romance if they're not already in a relationship, or having fun and playful moments with somebody they're already in a relationship. So bringing that summer romance in, either way, whether it's new or in an existing relationship. And with the temperatures rising, this is a great time for us to also turn up the heat in our relationship. Some might be worrying about the bikinis and the major skin fest that appears at this time of year, especially in coastal communities, and whether it is looking at a skimpy suit or wearing one, what if instead of worrying, you chose to turn up the heat in your own relationship? Summer can also be a great time for bringing in fun and play into a relationship, and it's a great time to balance the masculine and the feminine energy in us, and this is something we're going to be discussing later on in the show as well. And what I love about doing this is that it doesn't matter what age you are, how well you look in a swimsuit, or how physically active you are, we can all still experience this sensation of play and fun with another person. And for some people, summer is the perfect time for bringing in a new love, finding a partner, hopefully for more than just the summer. And for others, it's a great opportunity to delve more into their current partner. Now, after all, summer nights can easily equal sultry nights. And with the process of writing my own books, one of the big keys that I'm bringing to light is that we all have both masculine and feminine roles within a relationship. It's a balancing of these aspects that brings true strength not only to ourselves, but also our relationships. When we bring balance to these roles, the level of heat definitely rises in our relationship in a very favorable way. Now, Suzanne Robbins, who's the mentioned guest, uses this balancing of roles to turn conflict into cooperation. And imagine if you could be in your role and work harmoniously together with your partner. So whether you're taking that masculine or feminine role, imagine if you could work harmoniously with the person you're with and how powerful that would make your relationship. The skimpy summer attire can certainly be a source of great conflict for many couples, triggering strong jealousies in a relationship. However, what if you could be that sizzling turn-on for your partner or new love? No matter who you are on the outside, no outer package can hold a candle to the sizzling flames of working in cooperation with the one you love. What do you do to bring play and fun into your relationships? How have you learned to turn on your sizzle factor in a relationship? And how do you achieve balance of your masculine and feminine selves? Our guest tonight focuses on a component of compassion that is related to the aspect in my books known as loving others. And that's loving others being my books that are already out, Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the companion workbook. And it is where we learn how to accept others for who they are and love them anyway. So that's a really big thing when we're looking at loving others, is we want to be able to accept them for who they are and still be able to love them. If you can't accept somebody for who they are, it's going to be very difficult to have a relationship. Okay? people will make changes along the way. They will shift and adjust as they grow older and they mature and things like that. However, the core foundations of who that person is, you need to be able to accept them without the changes. And if you can't do that, it's a time for us to think about maybe we need to move on. But if you can do that and you can work with it, or you do have somebody that's willing to make the changes, then that could be a very solid partnership to hold on to. I'm going to take a little break here, and when we return, I will be back. We're going to listen to a wonderful song by a former guest of ours, Claire Hedin, which if you enjoy her music, you can listen to more of it at www.clairehedin.com, and that's C-L-A-R-E-H-E-D-I-N.com. And the song I've got for you during this break is called The Chosen One.
Your eyes shine with kindness, your hair curls with joy, your heart lights the bedroom, your grace fills the sky. You are the chosen one, so bright just like the sun. You are so blessed, be you are a joy to me. Your name sings the heavens, and nature hears it too. Imagination whispers, creating life through you. You are the chosen whisper, so bright just like the sun. You fill my heart with gladness, you do for everyone. Oh,
Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. This is Jessie Ann Nichols George. I am your hostess this evening. You were just listening to The Chosen One by Claire Hedin. Again, if you'd like to check out more of her music and work, you can do so at clarehedin.com. That's clarehedin.com. You can also go back and listen to the interview I did with Claire at, it was actually the very last show of December 2012, and you can listen to that in my archives, which you can access on Jessie Ann Nichols George 1, that's the number 1.com. Just go on my tab in the Main Street Universe section, and all the archive shows for this program are there, as well as my Activating Compassion Facebook page, which is facebook.com/activatingcompassion/notes. And that's a great place where you can catch the archive shows as well on there. And I do want to take a moment here to mention that we've got several shows right here on Main Street Universe. On Sunday nights, we have Darren Bouquer, who is with Madame Laveau in New Orleans. Wonderful reading. He provides some insights and then does readings on the show. So that's really great there. On Monday nights is Kevin Baird, and he does Walking on the Sidewalk. He uses his Horizon Oracle Journeys deck on that show, a deck that he created, which is also available for purchase. And I highly suggest that you check that out. His website is templeofgaia.com, and you can check out doing that as well. And it's really cool because when you go in with his deck, on his website, he's got the explanations on there, so you can really tune in, and he's got it as a very picture-focused deck, and he's got it coordinating with different times of the day, so like when you get that time of day come up, then you know that that's a message for you in his deck, and you can go in and read the definitions there, and it's a really different, unique deck to work with, so definitely check that out on his website at templeofgaia.com. And then Tuesday nights, we have Mary Phelan on, and she does a great little show with us, which I encourage checking out as well. Also, that's called Inner Wisdom with Mary Phelan, and she'll also do some discussion and readings, and she brings in a whole bunch of different perspectives on her reading as well, a little different than both Darren and Kevin do. And then Wednesday nights is our flagship show, and that has Daniel and Janice hosting that, and they have had a lot of guests lately that have been really interesting coming on. I know Janice recently had somebody from the ISIS group in there, which was really, really wonderful. And I just want to touch base with those of you that are just tuning in. We were scheduled to have Suzanne Robbins coming in tonight with her work on relationships, and I have been trying to get in touch with her. I do know that she was having some medical work done in the last week, so I'm hoping that everything is okay from her. I have not heard from her as yet, but we are going to go ahead and go through with some relationship things this evening anyways outside of her, and we were discussing a little bit about that prior to coming in, that this is a big time of year where people are looking for summer romances. They're looking to spice up relationships. We're getting outside more. It's also a really big time where a lot of jealousies can be created because, as we know, when the weather gets warmer, the clothes get skimpier and shorter and funner to wear, and that can create a lot of tension in relationships, which is a little different perspective. And as some of you know, you've been listening to me for the last few weeks talk about getting a new set of books out, which I'm right on the edge of it, and that set of books is based on relationships, and it's based on the different roles that we take in relationships. And with that, it really brings in a different perspective, a different aspect that isn't often seen, and actually the guest we were supposed to have on tonight comes from a very similar perspective as what I'm writing from, which is this aspect of masculine and feminine roles. And no matter what sex we are, we take on both masculine and feminine roles. And those roles are very important to have in balance. They're very important to have working synergistically together. Because if we don't have them working together, we run into conflict, okay? If we step, just like a lot of things, if we step into the extreme of our roles, we create an imbalance. And what happens is then we're always trying to bring things back into balance again. Even when we have, for example, same-sex relationships, there's still going to be a masculine and a feminine role within that relationship. So there's almost always one person who's taking the feminine role. And even in these days and times, we can have a lot of men that will be a predominant feminine energy role. The way they are, the way, the base that they're operating from, we see this a lot of times perhaps with artists or perhaps men that become nurses or in certain professions, the roles that they take on are more of a feminine energy role. And when we see that, if they're in a heterosexual relationship, we tend to see a female that then takes on the masculine roles. And I say this because that balance always is kept in check, like the yin-yang. It's what keeps the scales in balance in a relationship. And when those roles, each person has one of those roles in the relationship, it keeps the scales balanced. It keeps things flowing and working harmoniously. But if both people step into a feminine role or both people step into a masculine role, we start to have difficulties in the relationship. And what we see with that is, for example, if two people step into a feminine role, both people in the relationship step into that feminine aspect of things, what I find and my discovery with writing and things like that is that we get into a very emotional drama space when that happens, because the feminine role really can drum up the drama if it wants to. So you deal with a lot of insecurities that arise, you deal with a lot of jealousies that arise, things like this, and then it starts alternating back and forth between pain and anger in that situation because the masculine energy keeps trying to come out, and it comes out by being angry and hurt, and then the feminine role creates more drama. So we see these cycles when things get out of balance or two people are in the same role. And in the process of balancing, you might have two people go from both being in the feminine place to both being in the masculine place, and that's when you tend to see the arguments and the yelling matches and things like that going on, because then what you have is you've got a conflict. You've got a struggle for power. The masculine energy really likes to have that power in a relationship. It likes to be in charge. It's trying to step away from the drama. It gets defensive, and then it starts attacking. And so when you get two people in that masculine role, for example, what you do is that's when you start seeing the really combative, strong, strong arguments that are coming through for people. So this balance becomes very, very important. And there are some very big keys with relationships and looking at different things. And I want to take you through a couple of the initial things in this process. And what I would like to do, since I haven't heard from our guest yet, is I'm just going to keep progressing here and give you a chance to experience manifesting some things for relationships and clearing some of the blocks and the resistances and the obstacles that come with keeping us from getting into a relationship. Because just like with money or success in career or other things in our life, oftentimes we have fears that are related to being in a relationship. We're afraid of a big one right off the bat, usually for the feminine energy role, is fear of being hurt, fear of being abandoned, fear of being deserted. And so there's a lot of emotional insecurities that that can create. From a feminine energy role, that can cause them to draw in people that are not healthy for them, that can cause them to draw in, for example, an abuser, that can cause them to draw in a highly heavy traditional masculine energy role that is very raw and base and not fulfilling to them. And this is a self-sabotaging pattern that we see, because if we draw in somebody that really isn't right for us, then we've already created, in an odd sense, a barrier to being hurt, because it's like, I'm taking this knowing it's going to fail. Therefore, I won't be as hurt when it doesn't work out, because I have all these built-in excuses already for it. And we see this a lot, like with summer romances. Well, and two, with summer romances, it's more of a lot of flings for people. They're not taking them on, looking at them as becoming serious relationships. It's like, well, I'm here for the summer, so this is just a summer thing. What's very interesting is, as we learn to communicate very well in relationships, as we start to find our balance in relationships, as we're strong in ourselves, things like this, what's very interesting in it is we can create so much sizzle, so much heat in our own relationships. And it's one of the things that I bring up in my new book, is about keeping the heat, especially when you're in a crowd, especially when you have these jealousy issues coming up. So one of the things that I pinpoint in my books, for example, is that oftentimes jealousies will happen, for example, at a social event, when you're out in public, when you're out in crowds, people are dressed up, they're looking good, they're looking hot, things like that, and it will trigger. And one of the things I suggest for couples that deal with relationship issues is to create code terms or code phrases that don't sound so out of the ordinary, okay? They don't sound too crazy or out there, but they also get a message across. So let's take, for example, a couple, okay? And they're dealing with some relationship issues. And one of the things to respect in a relationship is that your own sex knows when somebody else of its own sex is manipulating or hitting on their partner or things like that. And the opposite sex or the opposite energy role doesn't always know that. So, for example, a woman is more likely to know when a woman is on the prowl way before a man does. And vice versa, men also know the techniques that men use to create things, right? And women don't see it. They're thinking, oh, he's being sweet, he's being charming, right? Things like that. And so we each recognize our own roles, way of working. So it's important to listen. When your partner is saying, hey, this person's up to this, you know, listen and pay attention to it and respect that and give them the respect that the reason their little triggers are going off is because they can see these things happening whether you can see it or not. So, for example, some of the things that I list in my new book that's coming out with relationships is, and especially today, everybody texts, right? A lot of the younger groups are into texting. But even if you're not into texting, you can use these little phrases. And one of the things I came up with is that, for example, if you're a guy and you're jealous of your female partner or your female energy partner and you see, let me switch that up. We'll go with that. Okay, if you're a guy and you're seeing another guy and he's laying it on really thick and really sweet to your partner and you're just like, hey, you know, this is not cool with me. My buttons are going off. My triggers are going off. You could use, for example, the phrase, molasses cookies, okay? Molasses is thick, it's sweet, it's a delight, it's a treat, right? And you could just text that to your partner saying molasses cookies, and that's a code for, hey, this guy's laying it on thick and heavy, and this is kind of triggering me at the moment. And then you could always add to that molasses cookies for me, or I want molasses cookies, meaning, hey, this guy's laying it on thick and sweet, but I want you to give that to me. So you can see that this is like a little heat coming up in the middle of a crowd, and you can imagine how that is if you're across the room and you have this little text going on, or you walk up and say, hey, I was just thinking how good molasses cookies would be, okay? And it's like this inside thing for the two of you, and it turns up this heat, and your partner automatically knows, hey, my partner wants to go home and get romantic. And likewise for women, for example, if a woman's noticing another woman, you know, trying to get their claws into to their partner, that female energy, the code word might be honey, for example. And you could always add on me. So let your partner know, hey, honey, this person is, the key word being honey, this person's trying to be really sweet and stick to you, right? But when you add on the on me, it's like, I want you to be sweet on me, okay? I'm getting a comment in our chat room here. What do you do if it is an office party? So that happens. So definitely that's a big trigger, right? Because, you know, great, thanks, Kevin, for asking that, because with an office party, for example, you know that that partner is seeing them all the time. Now, one of the big things that I also bring up in my book, my new book that's coming out on relationships, is that, yeah, you've got politics going on, right? You're trying to climb the company ladder, and you have to be nice and you have to be cordial. There's a couple of things to keep in mind, that even though somebody might like your partner, that doesn't mean that your partner has any interest in being with them whatsoever. And this is where that trust factor comes into a relationship. It's really important to know where your partner stands. And if this is actually an issue, is there actually feelings going back? If your partner is letting you know, I don't have any interest in this person, and if you've got that relationship established and you've laid some solid foundations in your relationship, you're going to realize your partner is not there. And that's where these little code words do it, because people are going to see your connection. This creates a flirting across the room when you're doing these things. When you come up to your partner and you whisper in their ear, honey on me, I mean, you know where their mind is going to go. You know that you're letting your partner go, hey, I've got something hot for you when we go home tonight. You know, it really adds that spice up, and it puts a smile on their face, so it keeps them in this very cordial space, as well as letting other people know that, hey, you're together with this person, and there isn't anybody that's going to break that up, because you've obviously built this connection that is beyond anybody else. And that shows a lot of strength to your relationship. And people in big corporations, they love that. They love to know that you have that strength there. They love to know that you have such a solid relationship. Matter of fact, a lot of companies look for that. They look for a solid, strong spouse or partner when they're looking at promoting somebody up the ladder, because they know that if you've got a strong relationship like that and the person they're looking at promoting is very strong with you and there's that connection, guess what? They don't have to worry about all kinds of drama coming into the workplace. And that's a huge thing with companies. That's a huge thing with employers when they're looking at that promoting. It's like, oh, great, they've got a relationship. I don't have to worry about spouse interfering, making calls all throughout the day. I don't have to deal with all this stuff. But that connection can be absolutely intoxicating when you're at a social event. So those code words, coming up with those different things like that, and you can use these code words also to help somebody realize that you've got triggers going off, that maybe what they said was an issue, was maybe not very polite or was hurtful. Because a lot of times we say things and we don't even realize we're hurting our partner. We don't even realize that there's a problem or an issue there. So creating these code words is a way to make that known without creating attacking communication. Because when we go into that attacking communication and go, you know what, you're just being a real jerk right now. You know, when we go into that space, all you're doing is creating an argument. But, and that's usually the feminine getting hurt, and then the masculine energy reacts to that and gets all upset over that, and it progresses from there. So it's really important to kind of create those. So, for example, if you've got the feminine energy and they're going off the deep end, your code word, for example, might be bananas. And that kind of lets them know, hey, you're getting a little crazy. You're going a little bananas, right? You're getting a little crazy. So you can create these code words that is very easy to do it, but it's more playful and it's more fun. And if somebody just goes, hey, a bunch of bananas, right, it's much more playful, it's much more fun than going, you know what, you're really getting on my nerves right now and you're in high drama zone and I don't want to talk to you. That's only going to create an argument. So it's a huge difference that communication is gigantic in creating successes in our relationship. Now, one of the things that I was going to do here, and I'm going to take a look and see where our time is at, we're doing good on time. So one of the things I was going to go ahead and do tonight is to look at a couple of the roles that we have going on. And what I'm going to start with is I want to actually start with my Genesis clearing statement tonight, which, by the way, if you go into my website, right there on the homepage, right at the top, there's a box that you can sign up for my email list, and you can get not only the written version of the Genesis clearing statement, but you can get all three audios. And there's three audios. One that I created that is a I am statement, and this will make more sense to you in a minute, which is for working for yourself. There is a you are statement for when you're working with other people, like, for example, you have somebody that needs healing or somebody, maybe your partner is struggling in your relationship and it will help them out. Or there's also we are, which can be used for group situations, team situations, or a partnership when you want to make it more than one person that's involved in this and create this energy for them. And let me explain to you a little bit about the Genesis clearing statement, because I haven't used this here on this show in a while, but it's a really wonderful tool that I created that simultaneously removes blocks and obstacles in our life, as well as creates the ability to manifest things. And this can be a really great tool when we're looking at manifesting, for example, a soulmate into our life, or a strong partnership, or manifesting a relationship that is much more exciting, or we feel like something's missing in our relationship. Chances are when we're frustrated with something and something is a block or obstacle, there's fear or there's pain behind it. There's fear or pain involved. So we want to make sure that we clear that. And the way that we can clear that is we have to start at the starting point. And sometimes we know what that starting point is. Sometimes we don't know what that starting point is. I mean, the starting point could come from this life. It could be come from something that you've observed from childhood, from your parents and what their relationship was like. It could be something from a past life or a parallel life, or it could be something from, you know, genetically that's been passed down. We've learned that in previous shows, how we actually carry these different codes in our soul, generation to generation. We often see that, right, that everybody in our family has difficulties with a certain thing or they have certain talents. That's what we talk about when we're talking about something being genetically passed down. And so the Genesis is the starting point of it. And then we talk about it going through forevermore. And the reason we want to carry it through forevermore means that change will last forever. So it's not always coming back on us. Now, there may be deeper layers, just like peeling back the layers of an onion skin or things like that. There may be deeper layers that surface up, but as we become aware, okay, I've got a block here, I've got an issue there, we just want to peel back the layer and then start over again with this from Genesis through forevermore. So we keep clearing it at a deeper level. So what's really great is this statement will clear it at the core level of it. And you can use this as much as you want. You can listen to it while you're sleeping. You can put it on in the background so the energy is shifting your vibrational energy along the way. Now, the starting point vibrationally is a space of safety. And we want to start from a base of safety because only when we feel safe can we get rid of fears and pain and these obstacles. When we start in a place of safety, it allows us to fully open and be able to actually create from that level. It's our deepest level of being is safety. Okay, so we can fully express ourselves there as much as we want. But if we don't feel safe, we can't fully open up. So you might have noticed this, even if you're around somebody, for example. If you don't feel safe around that person, you're certainly not going to open up very much to them. But if you feel very, very safe around somebody, you could tell them anything. So safety is a very important space. Now, support, when we move to that step of support, it brings the energy into union. And a space of union is knowing that we are supported not only by others around us or our partner, but we are supported by the universe. We're supported by divine spirit, God, whatever term you want to use. Because we're supported, that then allows us to know that we will succeed and be able to overcome anything and move forward. Now, love raises our vibration to where we truly connect with spirit. So when we reach that space of love, we're connected with spirit, we become magnetic, which allows us, right, to actually draw in people or draw in what we need to build ourselves up to become the person to draw in our soulmate or our life partner. And we find alignment with soulmate, or we find alignment with spirit, and when we do that, we can open to endless possibilities. And when we're loved by others, we're given love and energy, you know, to make that connection there. So we're actually at a creative point. We're actually at a point where we can create things in our life when we're in the space of love. Now, joy raises our vibration even further, and that allows us to connect stronger with spirit. And things are flowing into our life easier at that point, more completely. It's a state of finding pleasure in everything. So when we hit a space of joy, we're able to enjoy our relationships. We're able to enjoy what we're doing. Peace raises our vibration even further, and that brings us right up to merging with spirit. We're free of worries and challenges. We're creating and providing our gifts to the world so that others can benefit from what we have to offer. And this is important from relationships, because this means when you're at peace with yourself, when we refer to this with relationships. And when you're at peace with yourself, you are truly, truly ready to receive that relationship. You're truly ready for a life partner at that point. And you can really merge with that person as well. And since you're merged with spirit, that means that spirit is guiding and directing the relationship, or guiding and directing the ventures that you have going on. Now, divine will is the final step here. And we bring this in because we bring it in with Genesis and beyond, because this is where our will is integrated with divine will, and it helps us to operate at our highest self. Okay, with divine will, we know that we're on our path, we know that spirit wants us to be happy and fulfilled and to live a life that's all that we can imagine and even better. So our will and spirit's will is one and the same. They're no longer separated. We're no longer running into the ego conflict that says, oh, I've got to have this person that makes $500,000 a year. They've got to be built like a model, strong as an ox, you know, gentle as everything else. And not to say that you won't get that or manifest that for yourself, but it's saying that when you're aligned with spirit's will, you're really open to that true partnership and not just what your ego is looking for. You're not looking at just the materialistic factors. You're actually looking at that spiritual divine connection with somebody. And when we talk about this with other areas of our life, of course, this is the space where we let go and we say, okay, I'm not going to force my will anymore. Where do you want me, divine? You know, great divine, great spiritual presence. What is your will? And when we align that, that's absolutely powerful. We're stepping out of ourselves and looking beyond ourselves, which is a lot of what I talk about in my work, Activating Compassion, which is very, very important. So anyways, that is the foundations of the Genesis Clearing Statement. And I'm just going to go through this three times, and I'm going to take you through this little exercise so that we're going to kind of go through this, and then we're going to go from there. So what I want you to do is to just get comfortable. Just if you've got your legs crossed, uncross them, and just close your eyes for a moment. And let's just start by taking three deep breaths, okay? So go ahead and inhale. And exhale. And what this is doing is allowing your body to relax, allowing your mind to clear, letting yourself just let go of any tensions you have. Inhale. And exhale. And one more time, inhale. And exhale. And you should be feeling your body letting go, relaxing about now. And what I want you to do is just focus. And since we're on a relationship show, whether you're in a relationship or whether you're looking to bring one in, just take the time and kind of feel where you've hit blocks in relationships in the past. And go ahead and let those come up, because we want our fears to come up. We want to let the obstacles come up because we want to be aware of them and acknowledge them and then let them just flow out of us. You know, you can let them go into Mother Earth where they can be taken and used for something healing and something divine and say, you know, this is a challenge. I no longer need this anymore. I no longer have to have this in my life. I'm ready to let go of these fears. And just let it pour into Mother Earth where it can be used for something beneficial. And thank Mother Earth and thank her for taking this from you and using it to help somebody somehow. And then as that lets go, and just picture that releasing, letting go from you. And feel yourself, you should be starting to feel yourself getting lighter as you let go of those things, let go of those jealousy tendencies, let go of those anger tendencies, those desires to control, those feelings of being victim or abandoned, and just let them pour out of you. And your body will start to feel lighter. And as that lets go, feel divine light pouring into you from the top of your head and let it come down. And as that starts to come in and fill you with just this beautiful white light, just this beautiful pure energy moving through you, imagine what it would feel like to have that lifetime partner that you could share anything with. Imagine what it would feel like to just have everything flowing in your life, having everything going your way, having somebody that you could be completely open with, who you work harmoniously with, you can talk things out with, you can have play with, you can have fun with, you can have passion with. It's all there. It all flows easily. And you don't have to worry about it being too good to be true. If you get any of those feelings of this is too good to be true or I don't deserve this, if you get that coming up, let them go out to Mother Earth. She's going to take care of those. She's going to take them and transform that into something beautiful and positive for somebody. Okay? Because you don't have to feel that. And as you tune into this, I'm going to go through this statement three times and just listen, because we're going to raise the vibration up for you. Okay? At Genesis and forevermore, I am safe. At Genesis and forevermore, I am supported. At Genesis and forevermore, I am loved. At Genesis and forevermore, I am joyous. At Genesis and forevermore, I am peaceful. At Genesis and forevermore, I am divine will. At Genesis and forevermore, I am safe. At Genesis and forevermore, I am supported. At Genesis and forevermore, I am loved. At Genesis and forevermore, I am peaceful. At Genesis and forevermore, I am divine will. We're going to go one more time. At Genesis and forevermore, I am safe. At Genesis and forevermore, I am supported. At Genesis and forevermore, I am loved. At Genesis and forevermore, I am joyous. At Genesis and forevermore, I am peaceful. At Genesis and forevermore, I am divine will. Great. And you should be feeling a lot lighter. You should be feeling the aspect of knowing that there is this love out there for you, whether it's with your current partner, whether it is with somebody else that's brand new that's yet to come in, that this exists, and you've just cleared all the blocks to having that. And now you're ready to really step into a relationship that flows harmoniously. And again, this Genesis clearing statement, it's designed for anything in your life. I just catered it to relationships tonight because that's our topic tonight. And just take a little time to let yourself come back around, come back in to a little more consciousness, let your breathing come back up a little bit. And it's always important when you're doing meditation and energy work to make sure that you drink lots of water to help yourself ground out, because what happens is you're raising your vibration so much, and this is why they say, you know, you're not walking on the earth anymore, because you get so light and so lightheaded. And you can see when your energy vibration raises, we're literally tapping into those other brainwave states that we've talked about in some of the previous shows over the last few months. And you can see you just have no worries about anything anymore. It just all melts away. It all goes away. And when we do that, we just, again, we remove the distractions. We make that direct connection with divine will. And when we're aligned with divine will, everything happens, and it happens beautifully, and it happens harmoniously, and it happens in these amazing ways that everything just opens up in our life. And that's how we get to getting things happening now and not just whenever. So this is a big way to open it. And again, you can go onto my website, www.jessieannnicholsgeorge1, that's the number 1.com. Sign up for my email list, and you can get the written version of the Genesis Clearing Statement as well as 3 recorded versions to work with. The one that's the I Am, which we just used here. If you were doing this to help somebody else find the love of their life, you would do the You Are with them. And if you were doing this, for example, to improve your relationship with somebody, you would do the We Are. So those are 3 different recorded versions that you get, all for signing up on the email list. It's really incredible. So that's a really cool thing. I hope you've enjoyed working with that. I think that that's really amazing. And I'm just looking in here, and I'm seeing that it looks like my guest is here on the line, that we have Suzanne here. So I'm going to bring her on really quickly. She's jumped in while we were working on that Genesis clearing statement. And I'm going to open up her mic live. Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm good, Jessie. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm so glad that you were able to make it here tonight. I was worried that you were doing okay.
Yeah, I'm doing fine, and I just got the times mixed up. My son is visiting from a different time zone, and my partner's in the other time zone. I forgot where I was.
It's okay. It totally happens, and I want to tell people, too, it's completely understandable because, of course, when I first booked Suzanne to be on the show, I booked her for the normal time, Friday night, starting at our regular hours, midnight Eastern time, 10 p.m. Mountain time, which is where she is, and then we had to shift it, and we bumped the show up 2 hours and another day late because I was off at my niece's graduation ceremony. So, again, I really appreciate you jumping in, and I hope you enjoyed working with the Genesis Statement.
Yes, interesting.
That's a tool that I created. And I want to introduce everybody to you. Tonight's guest is Suzanne Panic Robbins. She's the author, speaker, educator, and relationship coach. She's authored the book Exploring Intimacy, Cultivating Healthy Relationships Through Insight and Intuition. She describes her work as Freud and Jung meeting the aura and chakras. Her work focuses on how to be integrated within a relationship. Suzanne shares how personality, temperament, and dynamics keep people apart. She helps people turn conflict into cooperation within their relationship and focuses on bringing balance to the feminine and masculine characteristics. And we're looking tonight at how to turn up the heat on your relationship, and whether you've been in one for a while or are just looking for your summer love, you can certainly find that through these processes that she has to offer. You can also find out more about her work at SuzanneRobbins.com. And it's great to have you on. It's very funny that I was doing that experience, and I was talking about how earlier in the show my message from Yehuda Berg was, when you connect with a clear line of communication to divine source, that things happen immediately. So here I was doing my Genesis statement, and I come back in, and there you are on my switchboard. So that's a perfect example of how it happens immediately.
Right, exactly. I love it when it works like that.
I do, too. So it's great to have you here tonight. Maybe give us a real short little insight to you and your work so people can get to know you.
Right. Well, when you said that Freud and Jung meet the aura and chakras, how that began was I was teaching yoga and then eventually Tai Chi before I started doing my degree in psychology. And Sigmund Freud was one of the first people to talk about consciousness and the idea of awareness in relationship. And then Jung later spoke about the collective unconsciousness. He was 30 years younger than Freud and was one of his students. And so the idea of how conscious are we about what it is we're attracting into our life is a big part of what it is that I'm talking about from both a Western perspective, with Freud and Jung are considered Western psychologists, and an Eastern perspective from the more meditative, turning inside way of looking at what is our thoughts, what are we thinking about, what are we attracting, what is it we want to bring into our life. And so that's the basic of what I'm looking at, is that internal way of knowing and figuring out what we want.
And that's such an important thing, and we're seeing more and more of this, and I have had some other recent guests on that are doing a lot of this blending of Eastern and Western philosophies, and I feel like that's really where the key is. It is about blending these things, and I'm very big on that. I'm very big on the truth line and the common threads of these aspects. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that aspect. And the knowing what you want, I talk about that in my new books, and actually my aspects in some ways are similar to yours. It's not the same as what you're doing, but it's the aspect of the masculine and the feminine roles in relationships, regardless of what sex you are. And one of the aspects I do bring up as well is really knowing what you want. I mean, you don't go to a car dealership and go, okay, I want a car. I mean, you're going to be looking through a lot of car dealerships and a lot of lots, but if you go in and you say, you know, I'm really looking for a car that gets me a certain amount of gas mileage and has the capability to be four-wheel drive or to haul, you know, six kids around or whatever, then the car salesman can take you right to what you want. And it's kind of the same way when we're looking for somebody in a relationship. Is that correct?
Right, exactly. And, you know, another example that's often used like that is if you went into a restaurant and said, I want food, and they wouldn't know what to bring you. So it's like the more clear that we can be about what it is we are offering someone else as well as what it is that we're wanting them to bring to us, to the relationship. For instance, I'm very much a morning person. And so I remember writing up a personal saying, you know, that I want someone who loves waking up when the sun rises and, you know, greet the morning. And because if that circadian rhythm is off in a relationship where one person likes to stay up late and the other person likes to get up early in the morning, sometimes things like that can cause problems. Unless you both appreciate your alone time, you know, but you have to make sure there's time for each other as well as time for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important that people keep their balance or their sense of self. And I feel that women do this more than men because they change their name, so they have a stronger sense of losing their identity in a relationship, or whoever is playing that feminine role tends to be the one that makes the adjustments for the masculine role.
Right, and many people are no longer changing their names where it used to be sort of mandatory. So many women are holding on more to themselves, and I think men have a really difficult time at this period in time also because women are so much more forthright with asking for what they want and demanding almost what they want. And it's, we're in a period of time where the roles are shifting so much, and that the feminine is not as soft and gentle as it used to be, and which is in some ways good. We need to be stronger as women, and men need to be softer as men, but we have to also be different from each other in order to have a good relationship.
I so agree with that, and I think it is so important that we fully embrace whatever is the comfortable role for us, be it masculine or feminine. But then at the same time, it's very important to balance with some of the other roles. So it's great because the feminine really does need to feel feminine. The masculine really needs to have that sense of pursuing or being masculine. But at the same time, my discovery, and maybe you found this in your work as well, is when the feminine can step up and be strong as well, when it can make
right.
a decision and not be so wishy-washy, and really let the masculine know what it wants and what it needs, as well as when the masculine can open up and share some feelings, you've got a really powerful space there to work from.
Right, exactly. And that's where things are changing, where it used to be that the roles were so much more ingrained and that there wasn't a lot of choice. But sometimes when we have a lot of choice, then we also... you know, there's more confusion about who's doing what when and, you know, what are the new roles and how do they look?
Absolutely. And there's a little bit of adjustment for everybody, too. So I think these communication factors, these understanding factors are so important because, you know, you can put a lot of things out there, but you have to know how it's flowing for you and how much you're in those different roles and, like you said, what your needs are. Now, one of the things that you do with people is you teach people how to create deeper level relationships, and you teach them how to balance this internal battle of the sexes. So,
right.
What I mean by that is that
flow of the masculine and feminine, of this strength and feelings, let's use those two words rather than masculine and feminine, to know when to be strong and when to be more emotional or more in the feeling side. When the analytical linear thinking, which used to be seen as a masculine trait, when women are doing that, they're much easier to get ahead, to accomplish something and achieve something, the same as if men are more creative and can see the bigger picture, then they're more whole. So when you bring two whole people together, that's much better than looking for your other half. But in order to have that wholeness, it has to start within.
Absolutely, and that's a principle I talk about a lot with my work with compassion, is that it's you want to create your wholeness in and of yourself. You want to give it to yourself first and not expect
right.
somebody else to give it to you. Because when
right.
you come from that space, you've got basically unlimited possibilities coming
right.
from that space.
We have to
go
break
right ahead.
The old. We have to break the old stereotypes of maybe in some households what mom did or what dad did, or you know, going back to grandma and grandpa, you know, if that people who were more stuck in their roles, then there's not as much choice and option as it seems to be there is in the world today, where things are more free flowing for many women, at least in the United States, not necessarily all around the world. And yet still we have to bring babies into the world as part of relationship, and so someone's got to tend to the children. So that's another place where things get complicated in today's world. We have to be able to co-parent and share those parenting duties and not expect it all to lay back on one person or the other.
And some people can feel like, oh, that kind of puts strain on the relationship, or I think there's a lot of, in traditional roles, men that have been the working provider and they feel like they should come home and not really have to do anything to take care of the kids or things like this. But it's very important, I think, in keeping strength in the relationship that the woman has some time off, or they have some time, each person has some time to be alone. And it's important to understand what the other person is doing, what their life is like, what their roles are. So, for example, with men, for example, taking children part of the time, it gives them a much greater understanding what women have gone through for years.
Right, and a much greater connection with their children in the future. I know when my children were growing up, we spent a lot of time going camping, and we actually went gold mining up in the Sierra Nevadas. And so the children had time with their father and sharing an interest that the father had, and to do things with the dad, even though my daughter and I were there too, and our role in many ways was more traditional of taking care of the food and, you know, making sure that you know, the pillows were fluffed or whatever, as we tented and camped a lot. And yet that, you know, the fact that we were all there together as a family enjoying doing the same things was very nice. And so it's important for families to find things that they like to do together.
I definitely agree with that. I think that that's so important. And sometimes I think that's one of the factors that has been missing more as we've moved into a more technology-based society, is missing that family time.
Right. And going back to the theme of finding summer love, I mean, that's the same thing in new relationships also, is that it's very important to wherever people meet or whatever it is they have in common that they find attractive in the beginning, that it goes deeper than that, so that the relationship becomes deeper by having more shared interests. And when people start out, they sometimes overlook that and think, oh, these two or three things we enjoy doing will be enough to last us for our lifetime. And it really isn't. There needs to be 10 or 12 things that you enjoy doing, and they change over time. So it isn't
mm-hmm.
that when people first come together, whether they're in their 20s or 30s or 40s, it doesn't matter. You have to talk about with a bigger picture of what it is that you want for the future and what your values are, whether you like buying things new or whether you like buying things at the thrift store or whether going to the live theater is as important as going to a movie, or whether you like to listen to live music or whether you're just soon stay home and listen to records. And it's like those things can change from decade to decade of your life, and there has to be some flexibility. And when people break up is often because they no longer agree on the things that they no longer find things they like to do together.
And if you're building some of those things along the way, because, yes, those shifts and those change and the needs happen along the way, do you love that person enough to make some of the shifts and changes that are needed as they come up? You know, do you care for that person enough to say, okay, they've got to work nights now, so maybe even though we've been morning people, maybe we need to learn to appreciate nights because I love this person enough that I'm not going to kick them out of my life because they have to work nights now.
Right, exactly.
I'll make some changes.
There needs to be wiggle room within all of that, and also communication, so that looking at what might be the irritation, you know, what might be bothering one person or the other when their expectation is, oh, well, I thought it was always going to be like this, and then suddenly it isn't like that anymore, whether it's because work changes or children come along or even just the way we feel about what we want to do. We suddenly realize we want to do something different before than we did before.
And it is. It really is realizing and being able to, like you say, express those things like, you know, I know we've been doing this, but I'd really like to try this now for a while. And
exactly.
Being open to making those changes. Now, you've got a great book out. It's called Exploring Intimacy, Cultivating Healthy Relationships Through Insight and Intuition. Share with us a little bit about your book, because I think this kind of ties into what you started to mention earlier, is that you use a mind-body approach, and you say this is useful for therapists as well as clients to work with.
Right. And so just a lot of what we're talking about is there, the idea of looking within, of finding a meditative, mindful place where you're understanding and learning about yourself more, and then also learning about your personality. How does your personality that you bring into the relationship, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, whether you're more of a what we call an internalizer or externalizer, there's many different ways of looking at how we show up in the world. Some of it is innate, and it starts from when we're babies, and other of it comes from the environment that we're brought up in. So we have preferences for how we show up in the world. Once we understand who we are, then we can better understand somebody else. So if two people are working together and discovering those what I call temperamental traits, which are the more innate ones, and then the personality characteristics, which are more the ones that can be changed, then we're able to understand each other better, because we understand that if someone is an introvert and they get their energy from alone time and quiet time, and the other person is more of an extrovert and wants to be on the go all the time and with people all the time, that each one has to give the other one space to do that, but then also provide space to come back together. And again, that too can change over time.
That is such an important point that you bring up with relationships. And I work with a lot of clients that will ask me, well, how do I know that this is the right person for me? How do I know that, you know, this is going to work or you know, is this going to last or things like that? And this is, I don't think I could stress knowing yourself well enough, because when you know yourself, you're really going to know whether that's going to work. As you say, matter of fact, we've mentioned this, one of our other hosts on Main Street Universe, Janice, and her partner. And, you know, Janice is very extroverted. Her partner is much more of a quieter personality. And yet they work very well together because they accept each other's differences and they're okay with the other being the way that they are. However, you do have those people that are, hey, I'm the life of the party, and that just doesn't work for this other really meditative person. So you have to know whether you're okay with those differences or whether you and whether you need somebody else. And you know whether you're okay with what somebody else has by knowing yourself.
Right. And too often when people are dating and they're overlooking all that, because the more quiet one might be having a great time with the one that's more outgoing from the beginning, because it does help bring the quiet person out, or vice versa. The one that's more outgoing might enjoy more home time and quiet time, and they're happy to have somebody that's a little bit more settled. The problem comes when people start making the other one wrong for what they liked about them in the beginning. And so it's like often what we're attracted to in the beginning is exactly what turns us off later. And so, again, there's no way to look at all of it from the beginning of just meeting someone. But if one starts to make a checklist for yourself of things to look for and shares it with the other person, maybe 10 or 15 things, even though there might be 50 or 60 things that, you know, down over the years, but just to start out with the fact that you're willing to communicate about changes, then that, you know, is something that can be almost written into vows or a contract, or, you know, when people are deciding that they want to go deeper with each other, to really look at what is it that they're saying they're going to give the other person, and they cannot give something they don't already have.
And we've talked about that a lot on this show. You can't give what you don't have. If you don't have love in your heart, you can't give love. If you don't have money, you can't give money. You've got to have it in yourself first before you can give it and share it.
Right. And then to let so money's a good because it's so concrete. You may not have money in the beginning, but you have some agreement about how you're going to earn that money or what you're going to do to bring the money to you, how your investments are going to be, or how you're going to save for the future, or whether you're going to have a vacation fund. So that even though at first you may not have money, joint money, or you each have your own money, that's something that has to be discussed, is how are you going to spend that money? What are you going to do with that money? And to become aware of that, even though I don't have it right now, I need to think about how it's going to be in the future.
I think that's so important. And when people are making out this list of characteristics or traits that they want in somebody, it's great to list all different types of things, but I think it's also important to know what's negotiable and non-negotiable. And, of course, that varies for people. For example, one person would say, well, you know, whether my spouse works or not is negotiable because I make enough money and it doesn't matter whether
right.
they do. Other people
but
would say,
like
no, it doesn't matter how much I make. That's non-negotiable because I want them to have that sense of self-worth. I don't want them just lounging around the house doing nothing all day, not getting anything fulfilling in their life. So
right.
I think knowing those things are very, very important as well.
Right.
For,
and so in having some kind of a checklist, you know, is important, as I said. And then I was thinking about when you said joy, you know, if you don't have joy, you can't give joy. But it's like you may not be joyful yet until you meet the person that brings you joy. But then you also have to be able to receive the joy they bring and be able to then
mm-hmm.
fill yourself with it so that you have something to give back. And that's where it comes more into the less concrete kind of things than something like money and how money or vacations are going to work. But, like, what is it that is going to help you feel joyful? And what is it that's going to help you feel compassion? Or what is it that you want to do in the world that's bigger than whether or not you're making money? So those kind of futuristic things are important to talk about, as well as how you're going to raise your children or, you know, the more immediate things that might be of where do you want to live or what's your lifestyle going to be.
Absolutely, and that really is. It's just so, so very key in there. Now, you mentioned something as well in your work that's called Exploring Into Me process that helps release old hurts.
Right.
Can you share a little bit more about what that is?
Sure. It's Into Me See. So breaking up the word intimacy to say, into me I see, into me you see. And so that when we can go and really realize that so often, especially if we're angry, for instance, we're not angry for the reason that it appears on the surface in the new relationship, in a current relationship. It's often something that happened in our childhood or something that got triggered back when we were younger that is there. This is the unconscious part, and this is a more Freudian way of looking at things, that what happens between the mother and the baby, what happens between the father and the child as they're growing up and interacting with each other, that oftentimes, let's say a child could get scolded for something like spilling milk or leaving their room messy. And then as they become teenagers and young adults, it just is forgotten. And then all of a sudden later, milk spills again or the room is messy again, and the new partner is saying, I can't believe you spilled that milk. And it triggers back something that happened as a child. And that's a very mundane example. Things are usually a little bit more complicated than that. But it's being aware of why do I feel so hurt or angry or upset about what's happening in present time? Does it relate to something that happened in the past? And sometimes we can't remember what things that happened in the past. And that's where the idea of practicing forgiveness and being compassionate, come into play. It isn't that you have to remember it. You just need to know it's possible.
And I would say most of the time, the triggers that happen for us come from something in our past. And,
right.
And I could give an example with this. And I used this recently when somebody else was interviewing me, actually, recently. And I started to look at some of my blocks and, why certain things were not coming through as quickly as perhaps I thought they should. And I got to thinking back about, okay, well, let's say I have a workshop and nobody's signing up for that workshop. Well, what is my block there that's keeping people from signing up? I get great response. People say these are fantastic things. Why might that not be showing up? Well, I delve back into my past and I find out when I start thinking about things, oh, well, when I was younger, kids didn't want to play with me either. I was not in that popular group because I was not following the crowd necessarily. And that is equivalent, kids not wanting to play with you is equivalent to people not signing up to take something from you, for example. And so I created certain blocks. I created a programming in my mind, I'm sure, somewhere in there, that said, well, people don't want to come play with me, i.e. they don't want to come jump into my workshops. And subconsciously, that block was sitting there until I consciously looked at it and go, oh, here's a very similar trigger from my past.
I think
this happens a lot in relationships where, and your example was great, they might have been incredibly scolded as a child, or that might have triggered something horrible happening to them, the spilling of milk. And then it happens later in life, and they've forgotten all about it, and all of a sudden it comes back up when that partner says, I can't believe you did that, and all these other feelings come out.
Right. We're
so
staying with
that equivalent.
Let's take your example of people not showing up for the workshop, a bit deeper. Of why did those children not want to play with you? In the beginning, what was going on? You said something about I didn't follow the crowd, I didn't go with the crowd, or I didn't. What expression did you use?
Not being in the popular group, for example.
Being more creative or thinking outside of the box or being a little bit ahead of other people, wanting to do your own thing. And it's like all those things are really wonderful traits, except that then when we make a feeling about, well, people don't want to play with me. And then later, people don't show up for the workshop. So how do we fix that? What do we do with that leakage or blockage that is happening when we're hurt? And we're hurt as a child,
and some of these things that could be coming up, and of course, these are the same things that impact, you know, whether it's signing up for a workshop or drawing in a partner, it's the same. It could be the same. Being excluded from teams. I was told I wasn't good enough to play, or I can't do something because I'm a girl, or people were jealous, or, you know, you had friends that betrayed you. You know, you wouldn't conform or follow others. So these are all things that happen to us oftentimes in childhood, and then they translate into these other events later on in our lives.
Right. So with the, what do we do about them becomes the question. You know, what process do we use in order to heal those old hurts with the idea of into me see, being inside and seeing that there's still some old residue, if you will, like you know, dirt in the channel of flow of good energy. And when we learn to move our energy and work with the energy to release those blocks or to plug the hole if there's a leak, is all a part of yoga and the philosophy of working with the chakras that has to do with being able to, on a mental level, put things more into balance. And it can be as simple as brushing your teeth or taking a shower, but it's something you need to do on a regular basis to bring yourself back into balance so that you're not too far to the left or too far to the right. Is, you know, one way to look at it is a spatial kind of a thing. But it's more about being too open or too closed, where you don't want to be so just vulnerable, but nor do you want to be so shut down that nobody can reach you.
Right.
So it's that kind of balance rather than too far to the right or too far to the left. You know, but that idea of being able to find the right balance of how we're going to interact with other people that doesn't turn them off and that we're too much in their face or that we're too aloof and not present enough with somebody else. And that's what intimacy is all about, is finding that balance.
I think that's so important. And what a great process for releasing those old hurts is acknowledging that maybe it hurt when you were younger to not be part of something, but then as you got older, you realized that could be a strength. And like you say, it's about shifting some of that thought a little bit and finding your balance that we make those judgments. We make those judgments about ourselves that I'm not worthy. And we make them unconsciously as children, but then they translate into these later parts of our life. And it could be as simple as that, the person that wasn't included in things growing up, and then they carry that sense of I'm not worthy in a relationship, and then they're not finding the partner they want, or they're only drawing in abusive partners. And so finding that balance and going, okay, I've got to let go of that judgment, and where's the balance in there to find? And when we find that, then it opens up, and there's the healthy situation that we really crave and we strive for and desire to have. And I'm hoping maybe here, because we kind of had a shorter time than normal, so I'm kind of doing some adjusting and things as we're going here.
Let me go back for a minute to the spilled milk and being scolded for it, because
Perfect.
It's not just always that it's our perception about something that happened in the past. But maybe the reason our parents were very upset if we spilled the milk is because they didn't have enough money, and that milk was very valuable, and that, you know, there was a scarcity there. And then later, things could be very abundant, and there's not a scarcity consciousness about it, and yet we're still, somebody else is upset because of the mess rather than because of the scarcity. And so it's complex, which is why we often need a counselor or a therapist or a coach that helps us to sort things through so that we can get clear about what it is that we're blocking or why it is we're not attracting to us what it is we want in our lives.
Absolutely, and that is clarity. And you bring up a great point with that the trigger could be the same, but what's behind the trigger is totally different.
Right. And so that's where the communication with a new partner in the present moment has to come. Like, oh my goodness, I remember I was scolded for spilling milk when I was a child, and now you're scolding me and I feel like a child again. But then when the other person, it opens up a conversation to say, oh, you're right, and I really don't care if the milk is spilled or not. It's just that was my grandmother's tablecloth, and I'm really upset that milk is on it. But I realize now I can just take it to the dry cleaner and it'll be fine. You know, and that it's like talking it out and saying what's going on inside of ourselves gives the other person an opportunity to say what's going on inside of them.
Yes, definitely. Susanna, I wish we had had more time, and I may have to just bring you back on or something at another time, but I'm glad that you did jump in here tonight, and I know that you have this amazing set of perceptions to work with for people, and you do session work with people. You have some workshops and things that are going on. You work as an educator as well, not just with clients, but also helping people that have their own practices develop techniques that work for them. You have a lot that is there. So I really encourage our listeners to go to your website, which is SuzanneRobbins.com, and that's SuzanneRobbins.com. That is at the bottom of the show description as well, so people can see that there. And I do want to thank you for jumping in here tonight. Also, her book, Exploring Intimacy, that can be purchased through her website as well. A lot of information that's really, really valuable for her. And I'm glad that I got to have you even for a little piece on the show tonight.
Thank you, Jesse. And actually, the book is no longer for sale on my own website, but Amazon, or asking for it at your local library is another great thing that helps authors a lot, is that if you go to get the book at the library and it's not there and you encourage them to buy it, then it's there for someone else as well. So I am not selling it on the website anymore, but it's very available at Amazon.
Perfect.
And then Kindle and all those different new fancy ways of reading as well.
Absolutely wonderful. And I want to encourage our listeners, if they've missed any part of the show, go back and listen to it in the archives. We did some interesting things at the beginning of the show, worked with the Genesis Clearing Statement. And then if you've missed any part of Suzanne's conversation here tonight with me, I encourage you to listen to that. Check out her website again, SuzanneRobbins.com, at the bottom of the show description. She's been sharing with us some information about relationships and kind of spicing up the relationships, how to deal with a couple of things in relationships, and releasing those old hurts. That's a big one for us when we talk about relationships, is how to release those old hurts. And, you know, make sure that you get in there and check out her work. Next week, I've got Jill Mattson coming on my show. We're going to be looking at how her work opens number patterns in music, as well as how ancient civilizations, cultures, beliefs, and practices can be opened through music. So that is going to be a really, really interesting show. We're going to be featuring her work throughout the show as well. Got the next set of books just about ready to come out. I've got a wonderful artist I'm working with on the cover. I'm very excited about getting her work into things as well. And this book, again, is about relationships. You can find out more about them soon. You could check out the events that I have coming up the first part of June at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com, archive shows, as well as getting the Genesis Clearing Statement. You have a few days left for the May special, running on my current books, Activating Compassion, the workbook, right there on the website, jessieannnicholsgeorge1, that's the number 1.com. And you can keep up on the videos and everything, which I'm getting ready to put a brand new video out in the next couple of days. Sign up for the email list, all that great stuff there. Don't forget, we've got several shows here archived, Main Street Universe. You can check those out on the website. Each host has their own page there. This is Jesse Ann Nichols George. I want to thank you so much for being here tonight, and I look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into activating compassion. And don't forget, if you've enjoyed the show this evening, share it with others. It's going to be available at the same link in our archives. I'm going to leave you with the song Yearning For, also known as Over and Over by Shem Shai. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have an amazing week.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind. And to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with season of change inside. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon. Oh, deep inside, the light within, shining to show you it's here to begin. When all I have is all I need, I will soar to the edge of eternity.
Yeah. essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart.